afternoon, lovers of fine music, as they keep telling me down at the office. On this gladsome afternoon, we are four gathered together once again to bring you by the new invention, radio, another meeting of the justly celebrated Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street. The meeting is now in session, and we are about to hear another memorable concert dedicated to the perpetuation of the classic three Bs: Barrel House, Boogie Woogie, and the Blues. And so, without further ado, we turn you over to the Society's chairman, Dr. Geno Hamilton.
As you all know, fellow members of the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street, the music of the masters is a great and priceless heritage, no doubt. At this time, we are to hear some of America's noblest classics performed by the instrumentation for which they were written, that is, by small chamber groups. In toto, these groups are the Dixieland Little Symphony, or octet, conducted by Dr. Henry Levine, and the 10 termite-proof woodwinds of Maestro Paul Laval. Over and above this galaxy, as they say in the dictionary, we have with us two famous guests. As our visiting commentator, Dr. Charles Edward Smith, co-author and co-editor of the book Jazz Men, the monumental source book containing the story of how music with a hot kick was born. And as our guest soloist, a virtuoso on not one instrument, but two, trumpet and saxophone, Professor Bennett Lester Carter. But right now I see that Dr. Levine is ready with the overture. It is the traditional Dixieland chamber reading of When My Sugar Walks Down the Street, All the Little Birdies Go Tweet, Tweet, Tweet. And note particularly the tenor sax solo played by Professor Louis Satch Bodie, Jr. Dixieland shadings and harmonies, about which critics say there is no music more subtle, unless it be a concerto for concrete mixer with chorus of 16 steam shovels. But now we turn to the woodwind 10, and a nostalgic threnody which is doubtless familiar to you all. The selection is the classic Down Home Rag, and it is chiefly notable for the fact that it contains a piccolo duet by Professors Lewis Freckles Martin and John Wings Pepper, bringing new color to our instrumentation. And for the fact that Maestro Laval knocks himself out in a number of dizzy technical passages on the clarinet and basso clarinet. Down Home Rag.
Thank you.
To introduce our guest soloist of today's concert, and a more varied career would be hard to find among musicians alive today. After making his mark in Harlem, Professor Bennett Lester Carter went to Holland and formed one of Europe's most famous jam philharmonics. Later in London, he made the English drop their H's in 4/4 time just for the fun of it. And back in America, he's been spotted with some of the best bands. Now, Professor Carter plays practically all orchestral instruments. Today, however, he appears first with his trusty trumpet, doing tricks with Hoagie Carmichael's Stardust. Maestro Paul Laval providing the accompaniment. Here is Professor Benny Carter with Stardust. Professor Carter's polydexterity in playing around on any number of instruments, Maestro Laval has decided to do a little showing off on his own. In our concert, you've often heard Maestro Laval play more notes on a clarinet and bass clarinet than. But about 2 weeks ago, he appeared as saxophone soloist with Arturo Toscanini and the NBC Symphony. And since then, it seems there's just been no holding him. Therefore, we are now to hear the selection, My Gal Sal, with Maestro Laval featured on the alto saxophone. ¶¶ almost any authority on jazz is well aware of the fact that anything he writes will be greeted by the hot men themselves with, "It's very interesting, no doubt, but actually the truth of the matter is this." But Dr. Charles Edward Smith is different. He has performed the well-nigh incredible feat of telling the story of jazz so well that even the musicians are willing to admit that he knows more about jazz history than they do. Since that story is told in the book Jazz Men, edited by Dr. Smith and Frederick Ramsey, Jr., I'm sure that you members of the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street would like to hear more about it. Dr. Smith, it must have been extremely difficult to discover the beginnings of jazz in New Orleans, since that era is so long ago and almost completely forgotten.
It was, Dr. Hamilton. But I wanted to say, first of all, that we're out to get that New Orleans story because we knew that it would be colorful and that it would help people to take jazz on its own merits.
In other words, your idea was to tell the story of jazz by telling the story of the men who made it.
Exactly. And our research took us to every significant background, from Basin Street to 35th and Calumet, from Lenox Avenue to the Golden Gate. We were rewarded with the story of Bunk Johnson and Buddy Bolden playing stomps and blues in New Orleans before 1900, and with the story of the beginnings of the so-called Chicago style, a bunch of kids out at Austin High getting their kicks from phonograph records, Muggsy Spanier and Vic Spiderbecker knocking out duets, hanging around the bandstand to listen to King Oliver's band at Louis Armstrong and Second Cornet. And, of course, the problem was to show this background with the music growing out of it.
Could you give us an example of that?
You have an excellent example of what I mean in the person of Benny Carter, born in New York in 1907. In the 1920s, he played with Duke Ellington and Fletcher Henderson, side by side with veterans of New Orleans. These great bands were the first to bring into arranged music the full resources of hot jazz. A few years ago, Benny Carter went abroad and helped to spread the jazz strain. In Holland, for instance, he had a band that included seven nationalities. He also gave concerts and for a long time was staff arranger for the British Broadcasting Company. When he came back from England, he formed his own band, which is now playing here in New York.
Yes, I've heard him many times on the air. Now, before you leave the concert stage, I wish you'd tell us the greatest kick you writers got out of preparing jazz men.
Well, Dr. Hamilton, it was the story of the men. When musicians wrote to us and said, "This was true, this was the story," well, we were pleased. And we did get comments like that from Louis Armstrong, Muggsy Spanier, Clarence Williams, Bob Crosby, and many others. But I think all of us who worked on the book are very, very proud of the fact that our book brought out of obscurity Bunk Johnson, the man who showed King Louis Armstrong how to work out the blues.
He played way back in the 90s, didn't he?
Yes, and he's the man who's playing again today. He came into New Orleans for Mardi Gras this year, and the first thing he got was an offer to play in a band for the famous King of the Zulus Parade. To me, one of the most interesting things about jazz is the fact that its early pioneers are still with us, still able to carry on in their own inimitable manner.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Charles Edward Smith. In his book, Jazz Men, Dr. Smith points out that New Orleans and Basin Street is the home of most of America's first great hot virtuosi, such as, for instance, Big Eye Lewis and Stale-Bred Lacombe. But some of America's greatest blues classics were written by an Alabama Negro composer who stopped off in St. Louis before going on to Memphis and undying fame. If Dr. William Christopher Handy is listening at this moment at his home in New York, we hope he is pleased by Dr. Henry Levine's traditional Dixieland reading of Aunt Hager's Children's Blues. The selection features Dr. Levine himself on the trumpet, and you will hear Professor Mario Gennaro completely unhand himself at the piano. Maestro Paul Lavelle to demonstrate for us the remarkable color, harmonies, and sonorities that can be obtained from a small group numbering only 10 musicians. As an admirable vehicle for this musical tour de force, Maestro Lavelle has chosen a selection which, as age goes in our native music culture, is a moss-cluttered classic that's old enough to vote. The selection, the familiar and time-mellowed orchestral fantasy, The Sheik of Araby. To be able to welcome back to our stage Professor Bennett Lester Carter, Harlem's international ambassador of swing. After what Professor Carter did to a trumpet in his first appearance, I'm sure you're all anxious to know what he will think up in the way of something super fancy to do to an alto sax. Without prolonging the suspense, here is her, backed by Maestro Lavelle and the woodwind ensemble, in Honeysuckle Rose. Thank you. you, Professor Benny Carter, until we're lucky enough to receive another visit from you. Looking over my program notes, it seems that Dr. Henry Levine has cooked up a contradiction in musical terms. He now brings us the Farewell Blues, which isn't a blues at all, but a 16-bar ride-out that's definitely on the torrid side. And speaking of torrid, listen to the sparks fly from the clarinet of Professor Ludwig von Bernie Gluckmann. Here is Farewell Blues, played in a tempo de Look Out, Here They Come. Once again, to the familiar strains of the Basin Street Blues, we must bring our concert to a close. As you know, the opus is played in the Haydn Farewell Symphony arrangement, with the musicians leaving the stand one by one until the double bass player is finally left alone, dolefully drubbing on his doghouse.
Of Lower Basin Street. But next Sunday at the same time, there'll be another concert, no doubt. and you are indubitably invited to listen in. At that time, our special guest will be Alberta Hunter, international blues queen. And as Dr. Gino Hamilton has so pointedly put it, at the end of each discussion on such a matter as the matter just discussed, this is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.